Everybody. Let's open our Bibles to the book of the Psalms. And we shall read from Psalm 48. And while you're turning, I would just like to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank Him for all that has been accomplished throughout this camp so far, and to express my deep appreciation to our district superintendent and all of the ministers for their kindness to all of the precious saints of God, Brother and Sister Gilstrap. The teaching during the day has been so spiritually uplifting. We give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 48. Let us read together the first verse, Psalm 48, and let us read together. Everybody ready after three? One, two, three. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. My subject tonight is God is greatly to be praised. Let's all say that together.
God is greatly to be praised.
With excitement now.
God is greatly to be praised.
With enthusiasm.
God is greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah!
You may be seated, please. The text is very clear. God is great and greatly to be praised. And when we speak of the fact of God's greatness, we are concentrating on His power. We're concentrating on His vastness. We're concentrating upon the immense resources which are to be found in God. And when we say that God is greatly to be praised, we're emphasizing the fact that God is to be praised with a great voice. The psalmist said that we should make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're saying that God is to be praised with intensity, with vigor, with energy, with enthusiasm, with deep emotion. God is greatly to be praised. We're also saying that God is to be praised with great concentration. There must be careful and close mental application. God is greatly to be praised. The universe is one grand chorus of praise. In Psalm 145 and verse 10, the Bible says, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And while thy works are the works of the Lord, must be involved in praising Almighty God, I do not want to be left out of the process. I want to join His works by offering up to Him my praises. Amen. So the saints shall bless thee. Heaven is one grand theme of praise. In Revelation chapter 4, we read, And I'm just spending some time to read from the word of the Lord if you want to follow along. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Revelation chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! Let's say Hallelujah! Let's say Hallelujah! And again they said, Hallelujah! And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I hear that same voice tonight saying to all of us in Camp 1993, Praise our God! Praise our God! Praise our God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That voice says, Praise our God! Now that which is the pattern in heaven should also be that which obtains on earth. If in heaven we're going to be praising God, then friends, on earth we ought to be praising God. The psalmist said, Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, there is nothing better that you can do than to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy of our praises. He's worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same. He is worthy. I like to work from the standpoint of a definition And so, for the purposes of this message tonight, I'd like to give you what is this working definition of praise. And I'm not suggesting that this definition is complete, but I'm suggesting it's something we can work with. But I like to see praise as an adoring response from me, covering all that I am, body, soul, spirit, to God for all that He has done. I like to see this adoring response as having its roots in love. I like to see this adoring response as being qualified by a reverential fear. And I like to feel that this adoring response produces transformation in my life. It is an adoring response. It takes in all of me, my body. My spirit, my soul, all of my personality, my affection, my reasoning, my memory, everything is involved in saying, I praise you, Lord. Nothing is left out. My intellect. Everything comes together to say, I praise you, Lord. And when I'm through, I'm not the same person I was. I'm changed. Can you see amen? So that's the definition we're using. Praise. Praise, praise. We are to praise God with a loud voice. I have nothing against anybody who praises Him with a soft voice. But if that's all you're doing, I invite you to change gears and try praising Him with a loud voice. But you say, it's not in my culture. Oh? Oh. Oh, is that so? You know, strangely enough, the Englishman taught us to play cricket. And they claim that we make too much noise at our cricket matches. And we're culturally different from them. But when they play football, they get wild. Now, I know that some things have a lot to do with culture, but a lot of things have a lot to do with our perception. And friend, when you get that perception of yours to understanding that this God whom you are praising requires praising with a loud voice, that will cause you to break all culture barriers, and you'll be shouting, and you'll be praising, and you'll be magnifying the Lord God Almighty. I don't want you to lose me. I'm not suggesting that noise is the all-important thing. I'm simply suggesting that when we open up and begin to praise God, there are times when a loud voice is really the only way. And you see, if you need the Holy Ghost, and you come to the altar, and you refuse to open your mouth, man, you're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong road. If you go to a dentist, and you refuse to open your mouth, he can't help you. Once you are prepared to go to a dentist, and I don't like to go, but I go. And when I go, I tell myself, Sam, you've got to open your mouth and keep it open until he does what he desires to do. And if you want the Holy Ghost, you've got to open your mouth and praise the Lord. You've got to open your mouth and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, bless the Lord. The Holy Ghost baptism is a gift. It's not anything you work for. It's a gift. Not one of us in this building would be capable of working for it. At the end of the day, we would not qualify. So we don't have to work. It's a gift. God has already poured out the Holy Ghost. And if you have repented of sin, it's not a difficult thing at all. Not a difficult thing at all. All you've got to do is to come on up here and just forget that anybody's around you. You understand? Don't let anybody around you intimidate you so that your jaws get tight. Relax. And just begin to say, praise the Lord. Don't say, praise the Lord. No! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Don't say, hallelujah. No! Say, hallelujah! 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 Friends, as you begin to praise it, the Holy Ghost comes in and fills your life, and your speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Then we must go a step further and to praise God with intensity, great passion, great enthusiasm. Have you ever heard a lover telling his object? Because love has to have an object, right? Telling his object that he loves her. He doesn't just say, I love you, and just walk away. No! He says, darling, I love you. That has intensity. That has a depth of passion that goes beneath the throat. That goes down deep into the heart, where emotions are alive. And the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and I've about decided that the devil doesn't mind if we praise the Lord as long as we give the throat business. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And this courtesy hand, you know, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't mind, because that won't accomplish anything. Because that's here. That's here. When you begin to say, hallelujah, and you begin to concentrate on who he is, what power he has got, who you are, then something begins to happen. On this Wednesday night, is it? In this room, if everybody started right now to really praise God with intensity, you talk about miracles, you talk about signs and wonders, you talk about healing, you talk about revolutions, then we would see a mighty visitation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
A while. There's one aspect of praising God greatly that we must not forget, and that is as it relates to praising God with deep concentration, with a close and careful mental discipline. Brother Gilstrap made mention so beautifully a couple of days ago about the relevance of discipline in our walk with God. But if you are like me, and I believe that in many ways you are,
When I come into the presence of God, I come in against the backdrop of disappointments, unfulfilled dreams, unfulfilled ambitions. I come in with an acute realization of my physical weaknesses. I come in against the backdrop of living in a real world where real things happen. A few months ago, a couple in Pentecostal Tabernacle lost their 2-year-old son. And when the husband could talk, he said, "Pastor, this is real life. This is real life." When I come into the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning, before I get to the platform, I can find 20 things to turn me off. In fact, a good idea for preachers is to come in with your eyes closed. Let somebody lead you. And if you're like me, I do not find it always easy to get into the rhythm of worship. Because I had disappointments today, got some negative telephone calls, I've got some bills that are facing me, and I don't see the resources to take care of them. All of that I bring with me. So if you think, and on top of that, this old flesh gets tired at the wrong time. And on top of that, that devil does not want me to do that which will paralyze him. So he fights. So I've got to come in here and straighten my tie. I said, "Look, Sam, you're here now. Your God is alive. He's bigger than every problem you've had today. Bigger than all of them combined. And you have a responsibility to press your way to a point where you can forget everything and focus on the one who is bigger." That calls for discipline. And on top of that, we don't all like slow songs, and we don't all like fast ones. And if you come in and you don't like slow ones, and you're getting slow ones, the pressure is even greater. I have told myself, whether they are slow or whether they are fast, I'm gonna get with my praising. I'm gonna get with my praising. I'm gonna get with my praising. One thing is sure, I'm not gonna surrender to that devil. No way. He won't go and tell anybody that I surrendered. He has a fight on his hand every service. And I'm going to fight him until I break through and win. And like Brother Gilstrap said, go through the motion until you get the emotion. Go through the motion until you get the emotion. Go through the motion until you get the emotion.
That's good. That's good. Praise God.
Don't sit there and wait until God, "Oh Lord, if you want me to do anything tonight, you've got to hit me hard." Okay. Hit
I'm not moving until you move me. Man, after service is over, you're there just the same. And if we don't tell you to go home and you decide to stay, when we come back tomorrow, you're in the same place. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know what the next line says? And he took him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
What have you said? What have you said? Look, you don't know who you're talking to. I cannot walk. You have the wrong number.
Try that. Yeah.
What if when Jesus had said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand, he would say, oh, Jesus, you don't know who you're talking to. This hand has been withered, and you're telling me to stretch it forth? Yes. And the man said, phew. If you said, oh no, Jesus, this hand is withered, I can't stretch it out, it would still be there. And if you stay there and wait until God hits you with something or move you, you'll be there. Man, get up. Shake your right leg. Shake your right hand. Shake the left one. Shake both of them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I know what I'm talking about, you know, friend. I'm not giving you a recipe that I have not tried. I'm telling you something that works. Now, why is praise so important? And consequently, why does it produce so much? Basically, praises decentralize self and centralizes God. I'm not praising praise. No. I'm not praising UPC. I'm not praising this Connecticut district. I'm praising God. I'm not praising my problem. In fact, I know they're there, but God. Who is he? Almighty. Most holy. Omnipotent. Omnipresent. Omniscient. God in the morning. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. He made everything from nothing. He is not weak. He is strong. He is not limited. He is unlimited. He is not in confusion. He has everything in control. Hallelujah! So, in the year that King Uzziah died, guess what? Isaiah saw some more. Out of our greatest loss can come our greatest gain. And when Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, he said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of thy glory. Young people, hear me. The concentration was not Uzziah, not Isaiah, not the kingdom of Judah. The concentration was Jehovah.
Guess what, young people? The post of the pit was shaky. And the whole place was filled with smoke. Do you have an ailment in your body? Forget about it and concentrate on God and begin to praise Him. That ailment can go. That's why. It's midnight, and Paul and Silas are in prison, jail, Roman jail. Roman jailer has a key. Caesar has one, and maybe the governor has another. And the Roman jailer, in his aura of pride, must have said, "Paul, you are booked. You are in here. I have one key. Caesar has the other. And the governor, 50 miles away, he has the other. If you are to get out of here, it's either this jailer that will let you out, or the governor has to come himself, or Caesar. So, you're booked." "Oh, yes? Is that so? We'll see." Well, never been to a Roman cell, but all cells in the world aren't nice. I don't know of any nice cell in the world. Even if it has air conditioning, you perspire. The fact that you are in confinement will make you hot. At midnight, Paul said, "Silas, I tell you what, it's no point concentrating on this cell because it's dark anyway. I believe we ought to concentrate on the Lord. Because unknown to the jailer, he has a key." He has a key. Say it with me. He has a key. Say it again. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto. And God said, "Enough is enough. Gabriel, whatever you got to do, do. Brother, you people up here don't know very much about earthquakes, but I can tell you about earthquakes. When they shake, you shake. And an earthquake that lasts 5 seconds looked like about 5 minutes. Now all of a sudden, that and it's not normal for doors to open when earthquakes are on, because everything is helter skelter. In fact, I was in an earthquake one time, and I was trying to open the door. It wouldn't open. Because everything is out of scatter. But this one, man. God took a focus, and he had film in his camera. And he said, "The door."
Yes.
The door. And the doors came on
with a God like the one you have got, with a facility as praise, lock you up? No way! No way! No way! He cannot! He does not have a lock for which God does not have a key. And when you begin to praise Him, that door will spring wide open. So, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organ. Let everything that hath breath.
I want to close with something that happened to me several years ago. You can remain standing and move along. It was during the month of January, early in the month. January is a very busy time in the life of a pastor. You've got to be looking back at all that happened. About the course. In respect to the way forward. So I had gone to several meetings, and this was the last of the meetings, so I had the meeting and went home. And I went into the bedroom after preparing for bed. I just sort of did a post-mortem on the meeting. And while I was doing the post-mortem, I felt so sick. So sick. And, like the man I am, I don't like to create alarms. So when I felt ill, I thought I'd just keep it between myself and the Lord. But I just couldn't keep it to myself. I just had to tell it. So I said to my wife, I said, "Babe, I'm sick." And I've never felt like that in all my life. I had an idea what was happening, but I wasn't sure. I felt that my blood pressure level had suddenly skyrocketed and was threatening to blow my head off. So I said, "Babe, please pray. I'll never forget it as long as I live." It's 1 o'clock in the morning. It seems like sickness likes to come early in the morning.
Yeah.
I just don't know why. My mother told me last year when she was sick, she said, "Boy," she said, "sickness comes on a horse and leaves on a donkey."
And this one was about to leave on a donkey. And my wife, bless her heart, comes a time in your life when you can't pray these 35,000 words prayer. Can't pray them. My wife just began to worship. And she started to say, Jesus. 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 And the doors were locked. And the windows do. But you can't lock him out. Believe me, young people, Jesus walked in that room on the wings of praise. And I do not know up to this day where he touched me. But I know that he touched me. And my body started to shake. And if you think, some of you think I appear wild up here. If you think I appear wild up here, you should have seen me that morning. And I had no apologies either. And brother, I started to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And I do not know up to this day where I got that voice from. And when I was through, I felt so good. And all that my wife did was just to praise the Lord. Did you bring with you to camp a heavy burden? Did you bring with you a very loaded question? Did you bring with you a very heart-rending decision that you have to make? Did you bring with you a pain in your chest? Did you bring with you a pain in your mind? Did you bring with you discouragement, dejection, a sense of illusion? Did you come here feeling cramped? Feeling as if there is no use going on because things have gone too bad? Your deliverance could be a praise away. I do not mean a casual utterance based on pure intellect. I speak of an intense response to God with its roots in love, qualified by reverential fear, that which has the capacity for change. And when you walk through that door, I challenge you, you will be a different person.